Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Wednesday night. The Kings back at home after a 3-1 road trip. Oh, but the first game after a long road trip could be trouble. It kind of looked like trouble at times tonight. The Raptors played tough. The Kings were sporadic. Where was the defense in the third? Well, it said knock, knock, knock. It's the fourth. We've arrived. Team defense held the Raptors to 14 points in the fourth quarter, and Sacramento's offense got clicking. 33 in the final frame. DeMar DeRozan, 27 points, 10 in the fourth quarter, and Debo against his former team. Help the Kings get a win tonight in front of the fans at Golden 1 Center, 122-107. All of a sudden, the Kings won 4 of 5. All of a sudden, they are now 5-3 and get ready for a matchup with the LA Clippers coming to town on Friday night. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing?
Great. Love a good win. Needed a good win. Needed some fog. Doing fantastic.
Yes. Well, let's talk about what we saw tonight.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you did a good job in your breakdown talking about how the Kings came into this game. And throughout three quarters, I was going, we're there, but we're not.
Time out. What was everyone watching the game tonight thinking when Chris Boucher came in the game? I went, he's not doing it again.
I was so pissed.
He's not doing it against fine guys. Like, he had 2 points last game against Denver. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. Hits his first three. Okay. I mean, he was open. Of course. He's gonna make it. Hits another one.
Yep.
Hits another one. Uh-huh. I'm like, we're not doing this again. And the Kings got down 33-30 after one. Second quarter, much better from Sacramento. Held the Raptors in check at the half. They're in a good spot. Feeling okay. But then the third quarter happened, and the Raptors scored 39 points.
They were scoring.
Kings locked them down in the fourth. So it was a little bit of an up and down battle tonight. But what did you like?
Well, what I liked is I thought Toronto did a fantastic job. What I loved about Toronto, because this is a Toronto podcast, truly, the Raptors threw so much physicality at the Kings once again. Like, they go, hey, this might be our roster. We got guys, we're in the NBA, but we know we got to rely on what we feel like we can do better against teams. And that's be more physical. That's like, just like grind it out. And I felt like the Kings responded well to it. Like, they were prepared for it this time and it didn't get them down, even with the ups and downs. Like, that's basketball. That's sure. Going, that's bound to happen. Even on some of the miscommunications defensively for the Sacramento Kings, I never felt like they were deflated after a play or not being in the right spot at the right time, and they always found a way to respond.
Yeah, it was good to see them locked down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and just like get it together.
Yes,
it was funny after the game, the G-Man talked to Domantas Sabonis, who had a funny line from Mike Brown. Here's G-Man with Domas after his triple-double.
3.5 minutes tonight. Is that an area where you're comfortable in the amount of minutes played?
Oh, yeah, of course. I actually feel this might be the least minutes I've played all year. So I'm happy for that. I'm happy we took care of business and we could get some rest.
This was a strange one in many circumstances. You find yourself down by 4 going to the fourth quarter, and suddenly the intensity level ratcheted up dramatically, and you have a great run. What was the difference in accomplishing that separation?
Coach said these two words he never uses, and that kind of changed everything for us.
Interesting. Two words that he never uses.
he said, day off if we win. That's all we needed.
6 of 6 from the field, 5 of 5 at the free throw line for the triple-double tonight. The Kings have now won 5 of the last 6. How good does it feel to see this team shooting free throws so well?
It feels good. You know, we're just out there, you know. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just happy they're going in and, you know, we're locked in.
Are you superstitious?
Yeah. No, but the Kings have had some history with that, so let's just change the topic.
There's no one supposed to. Dude, Sacramento breaks people. The guy won't even talk about the free throws. He's like, no, next topic.
Don't say they're good. Don't say they're bad. I just can't. If I say that they're good, then they're not going to be good
anymore. Well, you're superstitious, right? No, it's a Sacramento thing. I don't know.
You know what I love? There was a post game last year where he like did some gesture or something up to his family in the crowd. And I asked him, and I was like, and Domas, what were you, you know, what was that interaction with your family? And he just pauses and is kind of like he doesn't say personal, but he wanted to just say, it's personal. Please move on. Like, I just don't want to answer that question. And I remember thinking like, oh shit, did I cross a line? And hearing something like this though, I would go, oh yeah, that's just Domas.
Yeah, it was funny. And then of course he joked about what got him turned around in this game. Mike Brown said 2 words. He never says day off if we win, which I'm telling you, these guys like Mike Brown, like they practice as much as they can. And NBA teams don't get a lot of practice time throughout the season with travel and all that stuff. Mike Brown doesn't like to waste days. And I think what's happening this year more than ever is like, well, we're playing a shit ton of minutes. We can't go as hard in practice like mm-hmm. we used to, Mike. And so, like, you motivate him. You want a day off? Go get the win. Go beat the Raptors.
Have your team beg for a day off and, like, on their knees plead for a day off.
Yeah.
And that is the way you get your team under control. That's the way you coach it. But it's hilarious that is the 2 words that they felt motivated from. And, you know, however you have to get it done, I like it. Oh.
I'm trying to figure out about tonight because in the third quarter, I was thinking bad thoughts, okay? And I'm like, oh, great, this podcast is going to be fun. You lose to the Raptors twice in like 4 days. What's happening? You're back home. You're losing a home game. And then they turn on the fourth quarter. I don't like this whole turning it all in the fourth quarter thing, especially defensively.
Why?
Because I think a couple things. I don't like the zone defense they're throwing out this year. It just doesn't look like it's working. Like, guys are late.
Like, Chris Boucher, like, shooting against the zone defense. Well, other teams, like, shooting against the zone defense. What?
Well, because Chris Boucher's looks early. I don't think we're against zone. Okay. There's one where pick and roll coverage where, like, he's just open because guys are helping. There was another one on pick and roll coverage where he got, like, a backdoor layup. And yeah. I went back and watched going, okay, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, Trey Lyles had the help from the corner. And Boucher read it perfectly. And the Kings had no help there. It's an easy bucket. They had a lot of defensive breakdowns. Like the play I was just thinking of with the pick and roll coverage, DeRozan and Len both went with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 2-on-1. They didn't need to do that.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of miscommunications. Yeah. I mean, what are the Kings? You said 5-3.
Yeah.
8 games in, you know, what we're seeing too, and I was super excited about this topic, is that we're seeing a different rotation from Mike Brown. You're seeing minutes being distributed differently. And my point to that being, to your point, is different guys are playing with different guys.
Oh, and I was going to bring that up tonight because I agree with you. I think I saw that even offensively in the first half where, you know, you could tell like DeRozan and Herter aren't used to playing a ton together.
Mm-hmm.
And with Herter back, it guys were in different spots they weren't supposed to be in. And I noticed that early in the season too, but it happened again tonight. And it just feels like there's one time like DeRozan's looking around with his hands out like, wait, where am I supposed to be?
Those minutes together early on in this season, and that's why like people usually put that sample size of 15, 20 games, especially when it's a team like this. You have two players in Trey Lyles and Kevin Herter who weren't even playing until the season started. Then you had Mike Brown at the beginning of the season not distributing minutes and had rotations kind of weird. All the starters are playing 40 minutes, so they're playing with each other. Now you have the last couple of games. You're seeing Mike Brown do a better job. The starters all played in that mid-30s range.
Hey, when they went up 15 with like two to play and I saw that Mike Brown took out the starters, I was like, wow, I'm a little stunned.
Slow clap.
Usually I thought he just finished it. It's like, hey, 15, it's too close. And he decided to put the bench guys in. And you're right, the minutes have been better the last couple of games. That's what happens when you take care of business too.
And again, I don't think that doesn't justify all the miscommunications. Like, they got to figure some shit out, especially, like you said, in that zone, even in that man coverage when there are those miscommunications. Because they can really, we talk about how the basketball is a game of runs. Some of those runs can be super deflating if you're playing a better team. And because they were playing the Raptors, I felt like they had these opportunities. They just to keep responding. And that's going to happen at times. And
their defense in that fourth quarter was great. It seemed like the rotations were perfect. The on-ball pressure was there. I just thought a lot of guys had good moments. I mean, Keon Ellis had a big play in the fourth quarter defensively. And then it led to good stuff offensively. You know, DeRozan got into his stuff and got going. And it was a really, really impressive fourth quarter for the Sacramento Kings.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, the way that they turned it on. But I think the funnest part is something that we've talked about over and over, and I love that this has been the consistent conversation, is that DeMar keeps being the guy that you can rely on in the fourth. And knowing, by the way, that De'Aaron is there, that Keegan is stepping up in a game like tonight, that Sabonis is there as well. But DeMar has consistently been that guy. But what I like is that I don't feel like everyone just shuts off and goes, okay, let's put DeMar in ISO mode and back off and let him do his thing. The flow of their offense, people are still aware, and they know that DeMar is still also going to be looking for a different option if he didn't have the turnaround jumper, even though it feels like that's just muscle memory. But we know what he can do with the jump pass. We know his vision is there. So you got to make sure that you're still doing your job as well.
I did say the Kings turned on in the fourth quarter. There are also stretches late in the third that's what really got them back in the game, to be fair. I thought the third quarter start was like really bad. It felt like the game was slipping a little bit, and then Sabonis had an awesome steal and a jam. Then the Kings played some good defense, high hands, DeMar DeRozan with a steal in the next possession that led to a Keegan Murray dunk, and all of a sudden the game gets cut to two at 77-75, and the crowd was into it again. I'm like, okay, that's the lift they needed. Still some, you know, miscues down the stretch or whatever, but then you head into the fourth quarter down 4, 93-89, and then the Kings just absolutely turned it on that fourth quarter.
It was fun. It was fun to see them get things done. So now do you want to talk about an individual?
I want to go over things I love tonight. The first thing I love tonight.
What did you love?
Keegan effing Murray.
That's a good one. That's a good one to start with.
Young Keegs, man.
Well,
I needed this guy to be aggressive this year. I needed this guy to hit the glass and be aggressive, driving to the basket. I needed his all-around game to pick up to another level. The jump and rebounding is crazy. I mean, he is crashing the glass on both sides. Tonight, he had a double-double. And here's the stat of the night nominee, courtesy of Deuce Mason. In his rookie year.
Oh, going there.
He had a total of 4 double-doubles the entire year.
Okay.
Last season, his second year in Sacramento, he had 8 double-doubles the entire year. Through 8 games this season, Keegan Murray has 4 double-doubles, including tonight's 22 points, 12 rebounds. He did it on 9 of 17 shooting. Also knocked down 3 of 8 from downtown. 12 rebounds tonight. 7 of those were offensive rebounds from Keegan Murray.
And he led the team in rebounding. I mean, Sabonis was one shy of that. But you love that stat alone, right? That category, especially for Keegan Murray. It's such a beautiful sight seeing the way that he's been diving in there. And if I'm a team looking at this type of film, I'm going, you got to put a body on him every time. Like, he's a scrappy rebounder. He's diving in there. Now, you go to a shooting tonight, like you said, 3 of 8 from three-point land. But with some of those threes, even some of the misses, he was not hesitating. he was not hesitating. Like, he was just shooting the shit out of the basketball, just trying to be in rhythm, trying to be with confidence. And I loved that he was taking some of those shots.
It was great to see. And I think his aggressiveness, getting his, but also the aggressiveness of attacking the glass is fantastic. So I'm fired up about it. I'm really excited to see that. And the Kings need that because they still lack size. I mean, you see it against some of these teams. Like, R.J. Barrett's a problem. And they have, like, one guy who can guard R.J. Barrett.
Right.
And then you have, like, Abaji out there who's another long, athletic guy. And you're just like, God, man, these teams have so many of them.
So
Chris Boucher's
many.
Long. He's coming off the bench dropping 17. This team is good right now. And this team hasn't done... They haven't shot the ball well from three.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a little up and down at times, and they're still good. They have, I think the shooting gets better, but it's going to be on Monty to make a move before the deadline to get this team to another level. And they should. You got to be aggressive.
Like, what? I mean, you're saying that after a win. So what? Like, what are you saying? Like a move? Like just like length to
yeah.
To
they
match
just
up
need more
length?
Size okay. Because there's enough here. Like you're having three guys right now average 20 or more. All right,
mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan's doing incredible things. His eighth consecutive 20-point game. That just set the new Kings record. That's
yeah.
Past Chris Webber tonight. DeMar DeRozan. So I just think that there's a lot of good that the Sacramento Kings have, but it's the same thing we always talk about. All right, the size, the length. Is it going to be enough with this team right now? No, they need more.
I understand that. And I think just, again, looking at matchups at times, I think after a win against a team with size and length, you do get to see, I take a step back and I do go, okay, what can you build with this team? Because every team in the NBA right now is looking at their roster after a loss going, okay, how are we going to beat this team in the West? And how are we going to beat that team in the East? Like, what are we going to... So, I don't know. My thing is to really just take that step back, look at this team as they keep showing improvement and growth while they're out there on the floor together.
What was something you loved in tonight's game?
Besides Keegan Murray, I guess I loved DeMar DeRozan in the fourth. You know, that was something that I was getting into.
What a luxury. What a luxury to have this guy.
I think that's how everyone feels. And, you know, you see him playing 35 minutes tonight. He was, this is what I love about his game. 2 of 4 from three-point land. And I know it's just 2 threes, but what I love about it is I remember him shooting the shit from three against the Kings last year. And I was like, what? This guy doesn't even shoot. Like, why is he shooting so well from three? What's happening? So it's nice to see his, if it seems like I should, before I just say he's been efficient from three, I should actually look at those numbers because it could be different. But my point is there's some that are being knocked down, I guess is what I'm trying to say for DeMar DeRozan. And I think him becoming a little bit more of that threat from the outside as well, just adds more to the offense.
After 8 games, he is shooting 38% from three, which is a really, would be a career high for him if that continued.
Wow.
38% from him. He's taken 2.6 per game this season for Sacramento. And you're right. I mean, he's getting some good looks in the corner. You have to take those. And I like him taking the corner three for sure. That's the one thing with where Sacramento's at right now. The 3-point shooting, we're going to talk about it every game.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer this goes, the more concerning it does become. They end up 10 of 35 from downtown in this game. That's 28%. They still maintain that they are generating good looks and that they trust that these are going to start to drop. They have not yet. And this isn't just 8 games in the regular season. This goes back to the preseason, too. It's worth noting. Trey Lyles, Kevin Huerter didn't play in the preseason. Kevin Herter's missed a couple of games here. Trey Lyles missed the start of the season, blah, blah. You know, like, you have to note those
things.
But it's 8 games in. You're like, okay, when are you going to have a game where you knock down 17, 18? One thing that's keeping Sacramento alive through these poor shooting performances, though, the free throw shooting.
Yeah.
The free throw shooting has been tremendous this year. It continues to stay hot. They're getting to the line a shit ton. Tonight, they got there 32 times. They missed 4 free throws. 87.5%. This team was last in the NBA last year. They're now number one in free throw percentage.
Was that against the Heat or the Raptors that there was that free throw disparity. I think
that was against Miami last
year. That was against Miami. Okay. And so my point is, it feels like you're saying, they're getting to the free throw line. You're seeing those big numbers with 32 attempts, but they're also making their free throws. But I just love another thing that's being added, whether it's them being aggressive or them throwing teams on their heels or just officials giving them respect for some of these moves. Whatever it is, it's working. Keep doing it, because it's just such a great, it's been such a great part of their offense as well.
Yeah, Sabonis was 5 of 5 at the free throw line. He had 17 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds. He was also perfect from the field, 6 of 6. He is now shooting on the season 84% at the free throw line. For perspective, last year, that number was at 70. He has never in his NBA career shot in the 80s from the free throw line.
Wow.
So that is a very encouraging early season development. And that's why after the game with G-Man, he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Next topic.
That to me is an encouraging sign. De'Aaron Fox, who is struggling with his shooting right now, he is shooting this season 87% the free throw line, and he's able to get 20 points, 21 points in this game when he's 5 of 17, 2 of 8 from 3.
Yeah.
So not efficient at all, but he was 9 of 10 at the free throw line.
Yeah.
21 points in this game.
It's huge.
So I think that's kind of been the swing stat early in the season where you're like, man, last year, if they weren't making threes, how were the Kings beating you? Because they didn't get to the free throw line. And then when they did, they couldn't make shit.
Nope. It was scary. It was ugly. So, yeah, just to finish off on DeRozan, though, because we, you know, just even him leading the way with free throws, talking about some of the threes that were being made, and him just being one of my favorite things, like you were saying. But 11 of 21 from the field, but you saw what it, how efficient and dominant he was in that fourth quarter. I mean, when he was coming to Sacramento, the line that I think you said over and over again, another guy that can get you a bucket. When you need a bucket, you know he's going to get you one. Blah, blah, blah. Like, however you want to word that sentence, that is DeMar DeRozan so far in this season. And I'm so scared for the day that there comes a fourth quarter where he's not reliable.
Yeah, a game where he, like, struggles and scores, like, 14. But, like, in his career, that's what he scores 20 points. He gets there.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when you're like, oh, man, maybe tonight's not going to be his night, you look up and it's like, oh, wow, he's got 10 in the fourth quarter, and now he's up to 27. And it's great. I think the Kings are getting more comfortable playing with him in these situations where you mentioned a little bit, is they're still playing with pace. It's not just like, hey, DeMar's going to slowly bring it up.
Tempo.
This isn't like a James Harden situation. Mm-mm. They're playing with that tempo. There's a mismatch or a matchup that he likes, and he goes and attacks it. And more times than not, it looks pretty good. And I liked it late in this game. They finally started throwing doubles at him.
Thank you.
That's what you want, because then DeMar is either going to
jump
still
past.
Take the tough shot because he can make it. Maybe he you know is able to create some space, or it's a jump pass, or he creates for his teammates.
Yeah, it's been really enjoyable to watch. And, like, I don't cringe when he has the ball or anything. I feel confident.
Where would they be without him right now?
Not 5 and 3.
If you had the start of a season where Fox is struggling with his shot, right?
Yeah.
And
you're
missing guys and, you know, Sabonis has, like, an off night. You're not winning these games.
Yeah.
And so it's just what a difference it is to have another guy that can go get a bucket. I was telling people all offseason long, when people are like, oh, DeMar DeRozan, spacing, pace, how's it going to fit? Blah, blah, blah. What about the defense? I was like, did you guys watch Sacramento at the end of the year? Because it wasn't just the end of the year. It was stretches throughout the regular season last year where, hey, the shots weren't dropping like they were in the original Beam Team's year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's creating? It was De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. When Monk went down, it was De'Aaron Fox looking around going,
need help.
Okay. To have someone else that can take over, who can create mismatches, who can read the game, get to the free throw line, hit the mid-range, not scared of the moment. He will take tough shots. He'll make three-pointers. It's a great fit. They would be in a really different spot right now if they did not have DeMar DeRozan on this team. It's a big upgrade for this offense, and it was desperately needed.
I agree. I love what we're seeing.
appreciate everyone hanging out with us tonight. Another large audience. If you've not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe.
Give me a hell yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Please hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow. We're trying to get to that 18,000 sub mark. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All it does when you hit that thumbs up is we show up in the algorithm. It's good for everybody.
It's all about
man.
The algorithm, man. Can you get us in the algorithm? Seriously, thank you for your support and just being here.
Yep. So we talked about DeRozan. We talked about Keegan tonight. Awesome double-double. Sabonis. I mean, guys, just tough. I think Sabonis, one of my favorite things about Sabonis tonight.
I got mine, too.
He did not take a three, but this is where he's at now, and I love it.
Where?
He was in the corner.
Oh, this is mine!
Pirtle closed out on him. Yes! He pump fake, put it on the floor, and took it to the rack.
Baseline jam. Pump fake, baseline jam.
He did it again, I think, in the fourth
quarter. At the top of the key.
Top of the key. He put the ball on the floor. I'm like, wait. This guy went from not wanting to shoot threes, rarely taking them, to now he's getting people to defend it a little bit, pump faking and driving.
It's that DeMar magic just like flowing through his body. And he's like, yeah, da, 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 da. It's amazing. It's so fun to watch when you see a center do this, especially at an efficient rate where you're just never scared when he puts the ball on the floor. He's bringing the ball up the floor. But I truly look at that baseline jam as one of my favorite things of the entire night. Because he was even a little bit behind the basket and found a way to bring his body to an angle that made sense for him to throw it down.
He's been awesome.
It's
not just the numbers. I think he's competing his ass off defensively. And I also think like tonight, I mean, obviously, he was creating for his teammates and the assist numbers were high. But I just think I've mentioned this before that it's so refreshing to see that the Kings offense, although not knocking down threes at the moment, have more than one way to beat you now.
Sure.
It's not just running everything through Sabonis and then seeing it get taken away in a playoff series and going, what do we do if it's taken away?
What do we
do? You know, and now it's like, okay, different guys are initiating the offense. Maybe some Fox off ball. Hey, Herter's bringing it up. We even talked about Herter tonight. I thought Herter, I know he played like 23 minutes tonight.
Activate.
And first play of the game, Grady Dick blew by him. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Happened
this is what
again.
Happened to Doug McDermott. Like, what are we doing? But after that, I thought he made some great decisions offensively, putting the ball on the floor. The Kings probably needed to attack the rim more against this Raptors team. And I thought Kevin had some nice moments in the mid-range, had a beautiful drop-off pass to Sabonis for a jam. He had some nice finishes around the basket. It was nice to see him back, too.
And I know he has those moments defensively, but then you see these other moments where you're just like, okay, what can he do well? And he's so active when it comes to his hands, trying to get them in the passing lane, trying to just disrupt a player, even if he can't stay with them with his feet.
Awesome stuff from the Sacramento Kings tonight from DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis. We talk about Herter. Let's talk some De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
Two guys tonight that kind of had weird games, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, who was first team all chaos tonight.
He did. He went back to his chaos.
Okay. I don't think I've seen a Malik game like that since
the first year.
Yeah. Where I'm like, what the hell happened?
Uh-huh.
And part of like what makes Malik so fun is he'll do anything out there. He'll try anything and it brings so much life.
Yeah.
But tonight, I mean, how many times on the break, open court where there were just major mistakes by Malik Monk?
That was the issue. The alley-oop. I know.
The alley-oop to Fox. And then he had one where he could have dropped it off to him and instead attacked.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, I think, 3 to 4 fast breaks tonight that were messed up.
There could be a lot. I mean, there could be a lot going on, too. And, you know, you have to think about those things. Like, he just didn't seem locked in mentally with some of those mistakes or the chaos that he was bringing in those moments. But what was so great is that those moments didn't bring down the entire team, whether it was a turnover, whether it wasn't a made basket. And sometimes it's like, oh, momentum's flowing. Like, what are you doing? It was Malik being Malik. But like you said, first year Malik. And it wasn't the best.
Yeah. But he did make some plays late too, which is nice. He ends up 4 of 13, 13 points for him. He did have 6 rebounds, and that's another guy. We talk about Keegan's rebounding.
Yeah.
Malik's getting up there and getting rebounds too, and that's really encouraging to see. He played 21 minutes and had 6 rebounds.
I have 5 on my, maybe I should refresh. Let's see.
I love that that's your correction.
Sir.
So my box score says 6, her says 5, and I have 5 on mine. Well, let's talk about it. What do you guys think in the chat?
Do you think Monk had six or five? The reason why I correct you because I know who you are, and you'll be go back and go, man, did I say 6? Because I'm now seeing 5. Oh man, Morgan, why didn't you correct me? Why didn't you correct me? So I was just being a teammate and fixing it quick.
Horseshit. That's just not true.
Anyway, Alex Len had 6 rebounds.
Yeah, Alex Len had 6 rebounds in 14 minutes. He also had 4 blocks. Mike Brown gave him the defensive player of the game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Crown after this one tonight. But yeah, Malik was like, he was pure chaos tonight. Where I'm like, hey, the shot selection, not great. I don't know if you're trying to get a foul called attacking, but like, let's just make the right play and not the crazy one. Like, even he was looked like he was going to go up for a jam at one point. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't know that the jam's there, Malik. And it wasn't there. But then again, he's done this on people where I didn't see the jam there, and then he goes and dunks on their head. But that was a Malik game that we haven't seen in a long time. You know, yeah. It's one thing when he misses shots, whatever. Like, I'm fine with it. I like his aggressiveness. But tonight, I felt like it was a little too much. And maybe it was his way of trying to bring some life in the building, some energy to the team.
It didn't lead to a loss. So I was like, okay, let's just see what happens going forward. Like, you know, if he's... Because I think against Miami... Weren't there moments that he was trying to do some things and it felt like he was getting some things done while there's still some other moments where he wasn't? And tonight was the first night, like you said, I felt like in a long time where it was like, oh, it's not exactly working. Again, got to the free throw line, 5 attempts, 4 or 5 from the free throw line as well, adding to that category. So I don't know. We'll see going forward.
Yeah, you're asking me about Miami. That seems like that game happened about 7.5 years ago
in my life. I'm sorry.
All right, I want to get to De'Aaron Fox. 5 of 17 shooting in this one. He was 9 of 10 at the line, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Is this just an early season funk for him with the shot? Do you think this finger thing that we actually haven't talked a lot about on the show? And the reason being is like, when something doesn't show up on the injury report, I kind of just forget about it. But Fox is playing through, apparently, a ligament issue in his pinky on his left shooting hand. That was according to Chris Biederman of The Bee, who talked to him on the road trip. He said he dislocated it during training camp, at a practice during training camp. X-rays were negative, and he plans to play through it. He also talked to the G-man, Gary Gerald, about this, and I guess like it's been swelling up on him, and one thing he could do is like not play basketball for a month. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to do that. It's not showing up on the injury report, but do you think this is factoring into some of the inconsistencies we're seeing with his shooting? Like, what?
Yes. I mean, and I don't think it's all of it though. I don't think this is like, I don't want to make it an excuse, you know, because it's the pinky, but it is his shooting hand. And you just think about...
He's got it taped.
And so then that's taking away 2 fingers. And you think about how important just your follow through is, right? The rotation of the basketball, the different things, especially when you've been working on your shot. Again, not going to just sit here and justify. That's why his shooting is this. The reason why his shooting is also looking like this is because he's attempting so many of these shots, right? And that has nothing to do with this pinky. It feels like at times I notice so many people that he is settling from 3. Oh, I know he can get a better look in the mid-range, all these different things. I hear people on that. I also do believe early on in the season that it is important to experience with your shot, as long as it's not the losing factor in a game. And so it's hard to find that balance. And sometimes that, with that balance, I'm like, oh, there's 2 shots I didn't want him to take that game. Or in the 0 for 11 game, wasn't there like 4 shots we didn't want him to take in that game? So they're not all going to be bad looks. And I want him to feel confident and keep shooting them too. It's a hard balance.
It is. I just think... Right now, he is shooting 29% from 3 right now. 29%, yikes, which, you know, that would match a career low for him.
Yeah.
Last year, he shot 37% on 7.8 attempts, made the most threes in his career, attempted the most threes. He's taking just under 7 per game right now. He took 7.8 last year. Yeah, I think he's got to be mindful. If this finger thing is the reason why maybe he's missing shots, and it's also, I don't want to do this thing where it's like he goes 0 for 11 and then, you know, 2 for 8 tonight against the Raptors.
And then 5 for 5 the next game.
Well, and then we're talking about his pinky, and then next game, you're right, he goes 4 or 6. Yeah. So it's like, oh man, he knocked down 7 of 10. It's like, well, oh, the pinky doesn't impact things that night. Uh-huh. So I don't know. I'm just asking the question. And then if it is a situation where, like, it's not going to heal and he's going to have to fight through it, I'm like, man, well, maybe you just take a couple weeks off. It is early. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but I'd rather it be in a better position so then you could feel better and more confident. You don't have to do a swelling and you can come back and knock down shots.
No, here's the thing. What I think you do when it comes to your pinky being dislocated and you're working on that, I think you just work on your attempts. That honestly, like, that is how I feel when it comes to that. It's adjust your game to where your body is banged up, because obviously we're not putting it on the injury report. It's not an injury. It's your body's banged up. And you sometimes have to adjust to that. And the biggest thing with De'Aaron is usually when his knees are banged up or his thigh, contusion, or whatever it may be. And that's when you worry, because then he can't utilize his speed.
I think that's one of De'Aaron's biggest weaknesses. And some would say it's a strength.
Not being able to sit out.
Won't sit out.
Yep.
He won't sit out. Like,
I love it about him.
There are things that happen to players where, like, some players would just sit out after an injury like that. And, like, yeah, to be fair, like, Sabonis had the injury to his hand, you know, yeah, in that first year and played through it from December all the way through the playoffs against the Warriors. That was not on his shooting hand, though. And I'm just thinking of your shooting hand. I'm like, seems like pretty important. And so
I'd play through it.
Fox has never been like an elite 3-point shooter. I think he's gotten better in recent years. But you're saying play through it. I'm saying then adjust.
Adjust your attempts then. Though, okay. Right? Like, why can't adjust your game a little bit? Because I understand it's early on in the season. You still want to experiment with your shooting. And I agree with that, because I think this is the time to gain that NBA growth and experience with your shot. Keep developing your 3-point shot. But if there's an injury on your shooting hand and now you have to take a step back, just take a little step back. Take 5 threes, you know, let it just be adjusted.
Make them good looks.
Yeah.
You know, don't force them. If they're open, take them. Hopefully there are more catch and shoot opportunities for you. But that's just something that, you know, I thought about, because, you know, over the years, fair. I mean, last year it was like, oh, you know, his ankle's bugging him. And it's like, oh, is that why he struggled for like 2.5 weeks? You know, was it his himself? Even that playoff year, there was a stretch where he was nicked up, and it's like, this guy never shows up on the injury report. He just, like, plays through this stuff. Yeah, and
a lot of these guys
then, but when it's not showing up in the injury report, right, uh-huh, and we just hear about like this, I don't know. It's like we're searching for reasons as to why someone might be struggling with in some way. And it's like, oh, okay, he has this. Okay, this makes sense. But when it's not out there, it's kind of left.
But like, can I,
we're searching.
But also, I don't think De'Aaron gives a shit about what anyone else thinks. You know what I mean? He's like, okay, keep analyzing my game. I don't give a shit. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. But the people that he is going to listen to are his coaches, his wife, the basketball people around
Mason,
him.
Probably a little bit.
No. But
maybe you should hire me as an advisor. That'd be cool.
So anyway, no.
An advocate. Like a Paul Heyman
no,
type.
I know what type. And again, no.
Okay.
My client is playing through a dislocated finger, a banged up knee. He has 2 kids under 2, and he is still going to be an NBA All-Star. Was that pretty good?
That's not a bad promo for you.
For me, that was yeah.
So it's not Deuce Mason level, but it was.
Okay, do it.
No, it's fine.
My client, do it.
I don't have it in me tonight.
Oh, fuck. Really?
I don't.
Come on. Whatever. I just did it, and I never
it's
do.
It's fine.
Whatever.
My brain's not firing tonight. I'm sorry.
I don't know what to tell you. You're firing. You're good.
Appreciate you guys so much
for hanging out with us.
If you haven't done it yet, hit the thumbs up.
Give me a hell yeah.
I just did that to reset my brain for a second. So you're saying, De'Aaron, play through it. I'm like, okay, be a little cautious with it. If it's impacting you, maybe yes or no. I don't know.
No, that's, I think there's a, okay, like, as people, if you've played basketball before and you played at high levels, like, your fingers get fucked all the time. Like, honestly, like, I remember one time I got my middle finger because I went up to the net to just stretch out my arms and it got caught in the net and then it was all like fractured at the top and stuff. And my point is, I practiced that day and then I kept playing. You just
your
tape it.
Hand got cut in the net.
It was a lowered.
Thank
basket.
You. There, I was gonna say there is zero chance your ass was able to touch the net.
I jumped up and I was like stretching my God. I was just like stretching my arms and I was like come back down and it got mangled. My point is there's so many basketball players like that's on a lower end level. Like there are so many basketball players in this world that just tape up, you play through it. I mean, some you might need a little cortisone shot, you do a little something else. And I'm not saying that is the right thing to do just because it's a finger injury. But at the same time, I feel like a finger injury for the most part, depending on what it is in basketball, is something that you can play through. And it's obviously something that he just needs to make adjustments when he's on the floor mentally with if he's going to take a shot or take it to the rack or have a floater, midi, whatever.
Fair.
Thank you.
A lot of people throwing tomatoes at me and
yeah, good.
Crapping on me for not responding to Morgan's like, hey, do this, clown. Make me a balloon.
And I never,
I'm sorry,
you put me on the spot. You make me sing in front of human
You're
beings.
You're good at it.
No, that's the thing. You think I am. Your ears are broken. One. Two, I mean, I saw some people saying, don't put him on the spot. I saw Chris say that.
Let me tell you something.
More shit talking. What?
De'Aaron Fox.
Oh.
De'Aaron Fox can play with a bum ankle, a taped up pinky. You're going to tell him not to shoot? He is going to shoot. He doesn't care what you think, what you say. He is going to come full force at you with reckless abandon, both ends deflections, dunks. Big shots, big free throws. This guy is going to come and suck the life out of your team. Whether he's 1 of 11 from 3, whether he is 0 for 9 from the free throw line, at the end of the day, he will hit a shot when it matters the most. This is the clutch player of the year, and you can't take that from him. So as one, all of you guys, stand up right now in your living room, your mom's basement, the bathroom while you take a giant shit and acknowledge De'Aaron Fox!
Are we doing this? Oh, there we go. Wait.
Was that all right?
I mean, I was expecting a little bit more Paul Heyman, client.
No.
But you did your own thing.
Yeah.
So it was very original. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Thank you.
Original. You're getting people excited.
I need you to know this. That wasn't for you. That was for me. I needed to
Oh,
do
I thought
that.
It was for the people.
It was for me.
Okay. Oh, me being the people. That's what I just
you
said.
You know what? I'm going to be honest tonight. I'm going to be honest with you guys tonight. We're going to keep it real. I'm having a Fox game tonight on the pod. I'm 5 for 17, but I just knocked down 9 of 10 at the free throw line, and we're winning. We're winning. I'm just, you know, I may be a little off tonight, and I hope you guys acknowledge that I'm playing through it.
Acknowledge him.
Thank you.
Good work, Deuce Mason.
Oh, we got more coming up on the podcast that we have to talk about. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother in Sacramento.
Yeah, you're going to sing it a little bit more?
No, but I could tell you that this restaurant is a place you have to go. It's at 2319 K Street in the heart of Midtown Sacramento. They've been a restaurant for almost a decade, Morgan Reagan.
Yes, they have.
Why should people go there?
Well, there's a big deal going on right now through November, and this deal is so fun. So you just bring a photo. I mean, you can show it on your phone, but bring a photo of your mom or grandmother, dead or alive, doesn't matter. And you bring that photo in.
Just to be clear, no one, like, we're not talking about killing anybody.
Oh, God, what? No. No, it's...
Bring him in, dead or alive. I brought her in. Can I get 50% off? No, it's just a picture of
just
like...
Just a photo.
Hey,
just
you and your mom.
I just say,
mother.
I just need people. I need people to know. Just bring in a photo of your grandmother or mother. Fine. I'm not going to say dead or alive anymore. But you will get 50% off your entire meal.
Yeah, your entire meal.
So make sure to go check it out because... This place, you're not just getting any type of food. You're getting local food. You are getting Michelin Bib award-winning food, honey.
Yeah, Mike, Lisa, and Rob are the best, and they are Sacramentans. So go get treated to some awesome food. Check out mothersacramento.com. Look at the menu. It's amazing. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Hey, Kings fans.
Yeah.
This one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. We have an awesome QR code on the screen.
Oh.
Scan it. You can see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. But that's not all, Morgan. Kings fans get hooked up.
Yeah, they do. You can get up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal.
Say it fast.
Thank you. Discount ticket portal by scanning the QR code. That's where you can sign up. You can get 15% off merch in the King store. And then you know the whole ordeal. You wave that Golden One card up in the sky and Scott Freshour comes out to you and he goes, hey, you win. You're getting upgraded and you can get courtside seats, lower bowl seats. You're just going to have a better time if you're a member.
That's how you win as one. Check out GoldenOne.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan Reagan. How about this awesome offer from Northwest
Exteriors? You said awesome a lot tonight. Okay. AWESOME. Awesome. This offer is awesome. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Northwest Exteriors is offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans, and that offer expires December 29th, 2024. So, yeah, if you're in the market for new windows, there's no better place to go. They'll come to your house. Actually, go to their showroom first. It's awesome. You can play with the windows. Oh, I want this one. Oh, do I like this lock? Oh, how about this? Does this look good for my house? And then they come out, do all the measurements, and then the installation. It's easy. It's awesome. Efficient windows, safety, all the things that you just love, and you save money on that energy bill.
Amen, Deuce Mason.
So make sure to check out NorthwestExteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest. Thank you.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
All right. Poll question tonight. Who should the player of the game be? Who should be simply the best player of the game? Is it Domantas Sabonis, who had a triple-double? Is it DeMar DeRozan?
Okay.
27 points for him, 10 in the fourth quarter. Or is it Keegan Murray with a double-double, 22 points, 12 rebounds, including 7 offensive rebounds? And I could tell you at this hour, we've got a tie. Take a look at the player of the game, Bryce, and... Very interesting numbers coming in, and we got 694 votes. That's a healthy number. Healthy number, 684 votes. Kings fans right now speaking, we've got a dead heat. Sabonis is trailing right now 26%, but DeRozan in at 37%. And if you take a look here, Keegan Murray getting some love too. He's at 37%. Who is going to break this tie tonight? Something we'll be keeping an eye on. Wolf?
who is going to get it. I feel like it keeps jumping back and forth.
Well,
it keeps literally jump. Like, you're just getting vote by vote for DeRozan and Keegan.
Who would you go with tonight, Morgan Reagan?
I kind of want to go Keegs. I really like that rebounding number. Thought that was huge. Love the way he played tonight.
Well, you say that, so you're with the poll. Sometimes, though, my friends, polls don't matter.
Oh.
Tonight, simply the best player of the game goes to DeMar DeRozan. 27 points on 11 of 21 shooting. He was 2 of 4 from downtown. Morgan loved that. He also had 10 points in the fourth quarter. DeMar DeRozan are simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exterior.
Congratulations, Debo.
That was a tough one. I thought Keegan too when I made that graphic. I'm like, man, I think Keegan's changed a lot with the rebound. I think him setting the tone, coming out early, playing with that aggressiveness, creating second chance opportunities for this team is huge. And you look at tonight, Morgan, second chance opportunities, 25 second chance points for the Sacramento Kings.
That's awesome. I love to see that. No, I felt like the Kings were just being so aggressive in their own way. Like, it wasn't just answering back to the Raptors being aggressive. It was like, hey, this is the style we're going to play. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to crash the boards, and we're going to make sure to find a way to finish the basket.
Yeah, the Kings had 16 offensive rebounds in the game, 7 of those from Keegan Murray. Sabonis had 4. Keon Ellis had 3. We haven't talked about Keon yet. I love the minutes he's given to Mike Brown. He played 23 minutes in this one, and I say this almost every podcast, how Mike Brown's going to maneuver with this, like, Herder Monk Keon Ellis minutes is going to be fascinating to watch at times. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at the end of the game, Fox is going to be out there, Sabonis is going to be out there, DeMar and Keegan.
Yeah.
The question is, who's going to be the fifth? I think at this point, it's coming down to Monk and Keon, but Herder could probably have a game where he's in there late, depending on the situation.
It's going to be the situation. Yeah. It's going to be the matchup. It's going to be like, you got to roll with who is working, but at the same time, we saw the other game when we felt like Keon was working and then he went with Malik. And you're not going to argue that either at some points. So, yeah, it's a good problem to have.
It is. And Keon is showing he has to be a part of the rotation. 8 points for him. He also had 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And we mentioned all 3 of those rebounds were offensive rebounds. So it's great to see that he's comfortable out there. I think my biggest complaint with the two young guys, Keegan and Keon, a couple of times tonight in the first half, both passing up shots. You can't pass up shots. And they passed them up and did not get clean looks after. And it's something that they have to be conscious of, is like, we need you to be aggressive. And Keon, even if you're not going to be like some huge part of this offense, when you get these opportunities, more times than not, you're going to be open. Like, think about the shot.
Become a shooter. Become an offensive player, which, by the way, he's very much capable of. It's more so who he's playing with. I think that's where he's taking that second guess, maybe, or that hesitation, and he can't. That's going to screw with so many different things.
I'm taking a look at the hustle stats for this game. I like to look at the deflections at the end of the night. Tonight, the Kings had 15 deflections, led by De'Aaron Fox. He had 4.
Okay.
That's a great number. Last year, you know, the league leader was right under 3. So he had 4. Kevin Herter had 2 deflections. Monk had 2. DeMar had 2. Sabonis had 1. 1 for Keon Ellis and 2 for Alex Len.
Love seeing some of those numbers, of those deflections.
Next up for the Sacramento. Oh, anything more on this game? Do you have anything more on this game? Anything that we missed that we should have highlighted more of?
No, I would say, you know, hoping Trey Lyles can find more of his groove back, you know, even with his small minutes. I know he can see more minutes if he's doing a little bit more as well. I know being out for so much of the offseason and trying to get back into it, it can be difficult.
Yeah, the Kings bench as a whole, I mean, it's Monk Ellis, and then after that, it's major question marks.
Yeah.
And I think it is a concern. You know, Alex, I thought, had a better night tonight, but there's going to be issues with him out there with spacing in some of these lineups. And Trey's just not knocking down shots. I don't think he's moving great out there. And Jordan McLaughlin hasn't had a ton of minutes. I'm having a tough time, you know, judging him. But in some of these minutes he's gotten recently against Toronto, I mean, he just looks small out there to me. You know, even Davion tonight, who's, you know, slightly shorter.
Yeah.
Bullied him all the way to the rack.
For sure.
And I think he can come out, push the pace, knock down shots. He's good with deflections, handsy guy, but he's just small. And that's tough in a league where you can get hunted, and some of these guys are just bigger and stronger than you and have no problem trying to attack.
And you're seeing positionless basketball, yep, where guys at your position are now, you know, 6'5". You know, it's just not how it used to be. So it can be a difficult matchup at times.
Yeah, I think getting some bench step that you're comfortable with is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kings have a strong seven right now. Strong seven. The problem with it is Malik and Keon play kind of the same position.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it just puts you in an interesting spot. You'd like one of those, you know, you want to be able to go 9-10 deep and feel comfortable the situation.
For sure.
Kings are at 5-3. Coming up next, a Friday matchup with the LA Clippers, who were in action tonight on the home floor, taking on their old buddy, Paul George.
Yes, they got the dub.
110-98 over Philly. Yes, George is back now. Second game back with the Sixers. He had 18 points, 7 rebounds on 7 of 9 shooting. He was held to just 24 minutes in this game, just coming back from injury. And he was greeted with a mixed reception at Intuit Dome. The wall was going after him tonight. Are you surprised that they were going after Paul George?
No, and that's what they're supposed to do. Of course, we would love if it was all like sweet and respectful all the time and just like pure pride. And, oh, I can never boo that guy. They meant so much to this team. And I know he commented after the game too when asked about it, saying it was stupid. But I think you just have to remember, like, especially how they're creating the identity of the wall, is that it's their fans. Like, they're supposed to, they have one job. That's to cheer loud and boo loud.
Well, did he make some comment about LA too? Jobs. I don't know. I forget what he did that really irritated them. It's unfortunate. I never love when, like, players come back after spending a long time somewhere and get booed. It's just like, oh, man, it's just a bummer.
I used to feel that way, but I can't say I used to, because there are times where it does irk me, it rubs me the wrong way. But I really feel like with this, when you do talk about the wall and what it's there for, is pure fandom. Like, yeah, you're not supposed to have any common sense. Like, this world.
Just supposed to be crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of a return, we didn't mention this. Davion Mitchell returned to Sacramento for the first time, got a great ovation.
Yes.
As he started this game, and Davion had 20 points tonight. 8 of 11 shooting for Davion Mitchell, 2 of 3 from downtown. He also had 6 assists. His best game as a Toronto Raptor.
I love it for him, but I'm glad that they didn't get the dub.
He played well. I mean, yeah. I thought his defense was fantastic, and it was good to see him.
The way he took it to the rack, yeah, and finished some, you know, nice little layups. I was disappointed in the Kings defense on those.
He's getting a great opportunity right now.
He is. He is.
Especially with Emmanuel Quickley out. Quickley is closer to returning, so that's going to change Davion's role a little bit. But I think he is showing, like, hey, he's going to be part of the rotation. Like, yep, he's got to play. He's brought a lot to that team. And that team just plays hard. I like this Raptors team.
I'm with you.
They're banged up. I mean, it's hard to... they're without Olynyk, mm-hmm, Scotty Barnes, Bruce Brown hasn't played. We mentioned Emmanuel Quickley. This team plays hard, man.
They you do. Know,
there's
they,
been flat. RJ Barrett.
It makes it, well, yeah, and RJ Barrett. It honestly, it definitely makes it fun to watch. It's not like a boring game going up against the Raptors, which, of course, in some ways you would like to see. But at the same time, if you're going to watch your team take on another team, it's more fun to see a good basketball game. And I feel like both times you got a good basketball game with the Kings still making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. So it was fun to get a win on the home floor. Even if it wasn't like a complete wire-to-wire crazy win. You got done in the fourth quarter. Davion was fun. Yeah, I just want to shout the Raptors for a second. RJ Barrett, to me, is just looks so much more comfortable with the ball. He had 23 points in this game. His playmaking's been pretty good this year. So I think there's a lot of encouraging elements to the Raptors. I like Abaji, too. He plays with great energy, and it seems like he's kind of found a home with the Raptors. Going back to the Clippers, we mentioned Paul George returned tonight. The Clippers did get the win. They're now at 500 at 4-4. They went 110-98. Norm Powell's been on a tear this year. 26 points for him. Harden had 18 points on 5 of 15 shooting. Ivica Zubac has been on a tear. He had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists on 7 of 9 shooting. This Clippers team, we saw them in the preseason. I've seen them play this year. They play really hard. They're scrappy. When Harden's not in the game, the ball movement's great. Zubac is a problem. He's been a problem for Sabonis in the past. I think Friday's going to be a tough matchup.
I agree. I think just the way that the Clippers have been playing this season, like the style of play, right? Yep. Like obviously it hasn't finished in all wins for them or anything, but at the same time, you think about who the Kings have played, and this will be a good test for the Sacramento Kings as well.
Yeah, and it's important to get this win because then you go to Phoenix to take on the Suns, and then you play the Spurs on the back-to-back, and then you come home next Wednesday for the Suns, followed by a matchup with the T-Wolves. It's about to pick up, and the Suns have been playing some awesome basketball. They won again. They are red hot, by the way. They are 7-1, Morgan. Yeah,
what?
They're 7-1. KD had 32 in the game tonight. Booker had 22. Beal only had 7 points.
Look at Nurk there with the 20-point game.
Nurk can't guard a soul, but he had 20 and 18, and they beat Miami 115-112. Miami had a shot to win it at the buzzer or tie it at the buzzer. They didn't even get a shot off.
Oh, it was so bad.
It was tough.
Jimmy was open from two, but I guess there wouldn't have been
it wouldn't
seconds.
Mattered. So okay. He stepped back to comfortable. And then, Denver handed OKC its first loss of the season. OKC drops to 7-1. They lose to Denver 124-122 in a classic. Denver had 4 players score 20 or more. Who led them in scoring tonight, Morgan?
Oh, my God. No way.
The former OKC Thunder MVP. Russell Westbrook had 29 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, but it was Jokic. Check out this game. 23 points, 20 rebounds, 16 assists. The guy was 4 assists away from a 2020 game.
Jesus.
What?
2 blocks, 2 steals, just to throw on top of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
For OKC tonight, SGA had 28, Jalen Williams with 29. And so a much-needed victory for Denver, who is all of a sudden seemingly getting it together after some games they had to grind out on the road, including against the Raptors a couple of times. They got a big win, and they're 5-3.
You say that they're getting it together.
They're winning games.
No, that's fine. But I was going to ask, do you think a team like Milwaukee could figure out a path of getting it together? I mean, it's still early, right? Like, we can say that for a lot of teams. Vibes are different.
I didn't like Denver's depth before the season. Mm-hmm. I still don't like Denver's depth.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a question mark all year.
For sure.
I didn't watch the game to know what went down, but, they won by 2 points, and they had 4 of their starters score 20 or more. That's a grinded out game.
Yes, yes.
Look at their minutes played from their starters.
I know.
It's like a Kings game. This is the game of the night that I'm like, what the hell, guys?
So annoying.
I asked this pod after almost like every podcast. Wait, is Golden State for real? They go to Boston. Last podcast, we were literally going, this is where their schedule gets interesting, though. They got Boston, Cleveland, who won again tonight. They're still undefeated. They got Boston, Cleveland, OKC. It's going to be a big test. We'll see where the Warriors stand. Well, the Warriors go to Boston tonight and beat the Celtics. No Jaylen Brown in this game, but Steph Curry had 27 points. Buddy Hield was 16 off the bench, Morgan. Andrew Wiggins was really fantastic defensively, and they beat Boston 118-112, handing Boston a loss to drop them to 7-2, and Golden State is 7-1.
I mean, believe what you see right now. believe what you see right now.
Still not buying it.
Still not buying it. But like,
if the Kings were 7-1 with a win over Boston, oh, we'd be like, dude, when are they going to get the respect? What's going on? But yes. Here's my problem with the Warriors conversation is what? They're off to a great start.
Yes.
You cannot take anything away from this start. But it's like,
but you're going to
no. The conversation gets switched so fast, and get ready. You're gonna turn on NBA Today tomorrow. It's already happening on social media. I'm like, dude, I think the Warriors are back. It's like, well, what? They're back. So they're a championship contending team again. That's the thing. This is what we do with the Warriors when they get off to good starts in this post championship era for them. It's like we can't just be like, yeah, I think they're gonna be pretty good this year. It's like, oh, championship contenders now. We're there. The team that got bounced in the play-in, they're championship contenders now. Just wait. It's happening tomorrow. Remember this part of the podcast. When
don't
you turn
forget
on
it. Bay
today, when you go on social media and you go, hey, man, Warriors are 7-1. They're tied with OKC in the West, man. Maybe the Warriors are back. Dub Nation. They retooled things. Things are different. Wiggins is like, you know what? No distractions. Mm. Draymond's on his best behavior. They're the deepest team in NBA. No. In basketball history. No matter the league.
Okay. That voice is annoying me. It's, I mean, we talk about this every year, Deuce. Yeah. Every year. You can't count out Steph Curry. So, like, yeah, why? Yeah. Like,
what? I also, the Celtics had some defensive breakdowns I saw that I'm like, okay, this team is not carrying. Like, they are the classic championship team that's like, we are so good that sometimes we're not always locked in.
That's fine. But either way, it's not about the Celtics. It's about the Warriors right now. And the Warriors are 7-1. And their roster is what their roster is, but you have someone in Steph Curry. Like, I don't even give, like, it's hard to even give, like, Draymond Green all that credit, you know, when and I know he does so much for them when he's out there on the floor, like how he can direct things, especially when he actually keeps his head in the game and everything, but Steph Curry, I mean, he just makes everything around him better. He does.
He had 27 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds in this game. Can I tell you the player from their team that I wish the Kings could have landed over the offseason?
Oh, I already know it. Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
Slow-mo. He's big.
Why couldn't the Kings get him?
I don't know. He was
maybe
a free
he
agent?
Maybe he wanted to come here.
Yeah. You probably. I mean, why wouldn't you want to play with Steph Curry?
I know, but like,
why wouldn't you want to play with Steph Curry?
He would get legit run here. Like, he played 20 minutes tonight. I don't know. Well, maybe he's, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, why wouldn't you want to play with Steph Curry?
I just think of his size and playmaking. I'm like, God, he's a good defender, kind of. Like, he kind of is perfect for what they need. I know he's not, like, the craziest athlete, but, like, just from a size perspective, is someone that I liked.
Well, he's not on your team.
Yeah.
Too late, bud.
So, yeah.
Too late.
We'll continue to watch the Warriors, but a fantastic start for them. Winning games without Steph, too, for a couple games. Let's get to some Super Chats tonight. Anthony donated $5. Appreciate that, Anthony. 30 plus free throws, hitting more than 85%, helps make up for the lack of threes. It's a whole newer way to score for us.
Thanks, yeah. Anthony.
And now imagine if they can knock down threes. I think that's the other aspect is Kings are showing that they can score at all three levels, or they have the capability of doing it. Can they get on a heater here from three? Can some guys get hot all at once and get those three-point numbers up? I think they have to go up. I don't think this is sustainable.
Yeah. That's fine.
Unless they're going to be like the one team in that league that's like, we don't hit threes. What do? We take 35 free throws a game, make 85% of them.
They stop the game. They play at their pace.
Yeah. Dennis Youngblood donates $20. My goodness. Thanks, Dennis. DeMar, I see. DeMar, I need it.
Ooh.
Went to the first game this season, wore my Keegan jersey, and he showed up.
Give me a hell yeah.
Let's go. That's fun. Thanks, Dennis.
Oleg donates $5. Appreciate that, Oleg. Kings are number one in the NBA at the free throw line with 84%. Appreciate that.
Oh yeah.
Dave Lack, he's been a member for 21 straight months.
Thanks.
And
Dave.
How about West Side Kings fan? Been a member for 29 straight
Thank
months.
Thank you.
Appreciate everyone's support tonight in the chat. You guys are the best. I don't feel like I read the chat enough tonight. I did see, like, for some reason our Streamlabs bot was like sniping people for cussing, and I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing, so I turned it off. Hopefully,
how
it's all
dare
good.
You cuss?
Yeah.
Because I never would cuss, and that's bad.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You know what? I just feel like we didn't get to say it the other night. I just think it's important because he's a huge Kings fan. Just want to say rest in peace, Rory.
I am so glad you brought that up. We found out after the podcast the other night, Rory, who has been in this chat for a long time, he was living in the Philippines, a Kings fan in the Philippines, and it's crazy how life works sometimes because this was a young man who had a lot of life to live. He was a huge Kings fan, and he passed away. I was thinking about him the other day going, yeah, I haven't seen him on Twitter lately or in the chat.
Because he was super active.
He was very active, and we found out that he passed away. So he was super passionate. I had some awesome debates with him over the years. And I mentioned it the other night after the podcast. What makes sports like so special and being a Kings fan special is we do have this community where we can all kind of come together, get to know each other. And it's all like us wanting one thing, and it's your team to win. And God, it feels so good when it does. And then we spend so much time dissecting everything together. And it's wild how with this podcast, I feel like I know some of these people in the chat. I may not have met some of these people in chat, I've met a lot of them too. But you see their names. You're like, how bad news sour grapes? I don't even know what this guy looks like, but
or what his real name is.
Hey, what's up, bad news sour grapes?
It's true. It's true.
We've gotten to know some of these people through interactions with the internet. And one of the things that growing up for me is I used to post on a Kings forum as a kid on this old website called kingstalk.com. And I was like 12, 13 years old, just talking about the Kings. And I made like friends there, and it's crazy what sports can do. And my point to that is the only reason I knew Rory is because of social media, and he was a Kings fan.
Yeah.
And I know he impacted a lot of people in a big time way with his humor, his energy, and his passion. So rest in peace, Rory. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.